Spencer will go wide to the right. Noah Brown, Michael Thomas wide to the left. Tight end Nick Van Ed motioning on the right side. Snap to Jones out of the shotgun. Hands it Elliott straight ahead, and he's found a hole. Elliott on the move to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, 5. Touchdown Ezekiel Elliott of Ohio State. 33 yards to the house for Ezekiel Elliott.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ezekiel Elliott running wild as the Buckeyes win the national championship over the Oregon Ducks, 42-20. Elliott with his third straight game of 200 yards or more rushing, finishing with 246 and 1, 2, 3, 4 touchdowns on the day. We go now to our Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in our good friend Bruce Hooley. Bruce, how about this victory by the Buckeyes?
Pretty amazing story this team went through this year. You know, when you think back to week two in Virginia Tech with 7 sacks and the offensive line just completely overwhelmed by zero coverage and an 8-man front, and then to watch them have their way with Alabama, have their way with Wisconsin, and have their way with Oregon. It's and then, you know, to say nothing of the fact that Cardale Jones comes out of nowhere to direct them on the offensive side. It's pretty amazing to see what Ohio State has done here in the postseason.
Bruce, how are you?
Hey, Matt.
Quick question for you from me is Urban Meyer, again, gets a big sense of satisfaction, you know, winning another national title, of course, and this one coming, you know, at his alma mater at Ohio State, and, of course, his second with it, or third, but, you know, with another team is, do you think Urban at all, over the course of time, what left is there for Urban to do, and do you think that's a lot of the reason why his name is being speculated around a few NFL coaching jobs?
Well, I think the NFL is looking for results, and he's a guy who gets results, you know. And the other thing that I think would probably put him on NFL teams' radar is he's come back from allowing the job to consume him and seems now to have it in, you know, a healthy proportion, work life and family life. I think some of that's been overblown. I mean, the guy is still completely consumed by winning. You don't achieve like he's achieved without that. Maybe he almost had to have it taken away to realize how precious it is to him, to realize that maybe in a few areas that aren't as consequential as he once thought they were, he has to back off. Guy's smart, you know, and he gets guys to play. I tend to wonder if his style plays in the NFL, though, because much like the guy he'll be butting heads with in the Big Ten now, Jim Harbaugh, Urban is a grinder. He grinds coaches. He grinds players. And in college, you don't have anywhere to go as a player. You can transfer, but that's a big-time delay in your time clock getting to the NFL when you have to sit out a year. And oftentimes, you know, you search for a greener pasture somewhere else and you find out the grass is brown everywhere. So I think he's in the perfect place, and I think he's smart enough to realize he's in the perfect place, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him get offers.
When you, speaking of offers, maybe go to the NFL, a lot of hype right now around Cardale Jones. What do you think he should do in terms of staying at school or going to the NFL?
Well, I'd rather answer what I think he will do, because okay. I certainly don't want to be in a position to tell him what he...
What do you think he will do?
I think he will go pro. I've been talking to a couple of scouts, and initial reports that I got from one yesterday who's with a team that has a quarterback, the Browns, and everybody would love to have, said, you know, fifth round, he's in a one-read system, makes a lot of mistakes, gets sloppy with his footwork, and they need to see more tape. The thing Cardale has going for him, a couple of things. Number one, if you go out now, you don't have to go to All-Star games and get picked apart because you're not a senior. Number two, teams don't have to invest $50 million Sam Bradford
right.
money in quarterbacks. You can afford to make a mistake now. The disadvantage is he's in an era where you don't expect to take a quarterback and sit on him for 2 to 3 years and watch him develop, and I think that's what you'd have to do with Cardale Jones. His age, I believe he's older than Johnny Manziel, and the fact that he had a child in November, the fact that I don't think any Ohio State quarterback can be guaranteed a job, and also the fact that, you know, it's all going his way, man. I just can't foresee him going back to school.
Bruce, that all being said, if we'll take for granted that Cardale may in fact make that decision and move forward to the NFL, so we're left with two great quarterbacks, Braxton Miller and JT Barrett. And again, I listened to your call in earlier with Tony Rizzo and Gerard on the Really Big Show. Just talk about Braxton Miller. You know, I heard Kirk Herbstreit say that he had, you know, had a conversation with him at a walkthrough down in Texas, and he said, "Are you going to make an announcement?" He said, "Announcement for what?" like he was going to, you know, go pro or come back. But as you said earlier, him, what does him not being enrolled in school mean for Braxton Miller and the future at quarterback at Ohio State?
Yeah, I don't know what it means, Matt. I think it's a little curious. I mean, he is a graduate of Ohio State now, so theoretically he could not enroll this semester, and he could re-enroll in the fall, or, you know, plan to enroll in the fall. I guess he wouldn't be. I don't know the nuances of NCAA rules, but how would he be any different than an incoming freshman? I mean, guys have played when Ohio State was on the quarter system. I'm pretty sure you played, Matt. Didn't you play in a game before you ever went to your first class?
Yes, I did. Maybe two.
So, yeah, so I don't know that Braxton would have to be enrolled now. He's not going to be cleared to throw in the spring. So this may not mean anything about him transferring, that he's not currently enrolled at Ohio State. There's also, as you know, Matt, from being an alum, a myriad of individualized study graduate programs. He may be able to get enrolled in one of those where he starts classes on an individualized online basis. Who knows? Late January, February, March. I don't know, but I know they have them. So, but I also know from talking to one of the people that are in his inner circle that early in the season he was not enamored with all the praise that people were heaping on JT Barrett, as if Braxton was yesterday's news and people had forgotten what he'd done. You know, I still go back to the fact, does this team lose a football game if Braxton Miller is their quarterback all season long? And I'm not sure the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, you're right about that, Bruce. And that all being said is, and the one kind of thing that I weigh in when it comes to the quarterback from a program standpoint, do you think that Braxton coming back and solidifying himself as a starter in this one last season at Ohio State in this system sets back the program because then you've got to, you know, get JT Barrett and as many great recruits as they're going to get, or Cardale Jones to come in. Do you think it sets back the program if you go with Braxton Miller one more year at quarterback?
A month ago, I might have said yes, but the way they sort of plug and play quarterbacks, I think now I'd be foolish to say yes. So everybody he puts in there, quarterback, puts up big numbers. Braxton's been a two-time Big Ten MVP. JT's broken Drew Brees' passing and rushing, you know, touchdowns accounted for record. And Cardale Jones has thrown for 750 yards and five touchdowns and one pick in three games. So I think when you look at that, when you look at Josh Harris's success at Bowling Green, Alex Smith at Utah, Tebow, Chris Leak at Florida, it's pretty hard to argue that any quarterback in an Urban Meyer system puts up pretty good numbers.
Bruce, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully you made it safe back from Dallas, and I look forward to listening to you later these evenings.
I'm on the road. There's one thing I should tell you. I neglected to finish one point. I did have the one scout tell me that Cardale was a fifth rounder. That same scout texted me back this morning saying that in conversations with other scouts, he's heard guys say that Cardale is as high as a second rounder. And if you're a second rounder in his situation, I think you got to go.
Absolutely. That second round money is real money there, Bruce. So thank you again for your time and get home safe.
All right, Bruce Hooley joining us there. You know, it's interesting. Second round, now when they evaluate these guys, they give them a first-round grade, a second-round grade, or a return-to-school grade. So if he does get some second-round grades, perhaps you will see him come out. It's very
But isn't it essentially everything that he's going to get from a grade standpoint or evaluation standpoint is going to be hypothetical by a scout through a back channel? It's not essentially because this late in the process, he can't get that true NFL evaluation, correct?
He's got all the hype right now. So, I mean, it's just a matter of if he is going to go out and take that plunge. I think he probably will.
And I said this earlier on the Really Big Show, a fourth or fifth round pick, myself being a fourth round pick, and I know the money's a little bit different, is you're going to get a couple hundred grand as a bonus in the fourth or fifth round. Maybe 400 as a fourth rounder and 250 as a fifth rounder. After taxes, it's half of that, okay? So he's going to make a couple hundred grand and maybe sit on an NFL roster as a fourth or fifth round pick as they wait. And Bruce talked about that investment. Whereas if you do, in fact, get that second or third round valuation through those back channels and talking to scouts, and maybe you work out well and you do well at the pro day, a second round pick is securing $1 million or more bonus probably in the first half of that second round. So if he can sneak into that, and then also too, in the right system, in the right team that's reeling, and there's a lot of them in the bottom of the NFL, you know, Cardale Jones could very well be in a competition, you know, definitely as a backup, but in some cases maybe get that early exposure. And again, not as big as an investment for a lot of these clubs at the bottom of the league.
The fact of the matter is he's got a lot of work to do. His footwork is suspect, his reads are suspect, et cetera, at the NFL level. But he has an opportunity to go ahead and be very good because of the physical gifts that he has. So he would be a little bit of a project. Somebody would take a gamble on him, and if you could coach him up, he could be very good. I mean, the fact that he was able to do – you know he can handle pressure.
Yes.
The fact that he was able to do what he did in these three games on this stage says, okay, mentally this guy is very tough. Physically he's got a lot of tools. And what I'm saying is this is a guy that you would look at investing in. And with the price point of, let's call it, even a second-round pick nowadays, you're not breaking your team's cap structure at all to make this investment and take this shot.
And one other, again, just as I think of who does he remind me of, and I know Gerard Cherry this morning talked about him being like Big Ben. You know who he kind of reminds me of is a combination of two Steeler quarterbacks, Big Ben, yes, and you remember Dennis Dixon. Tall, lanky guy, you know, big arm,
from
athletic,
Oregon.
From Oregon as well. So he's like a combo. He's like a bulkier Dennis Dixon, you know, who came out of a great system, who won a lot of football games and had success, and was probably, you know, a lot of people were very high on him. But there were shortcomings that he had as an NFL quarterback or as a quarterback, which really showed and reigned supreme in why his career was so short in the NFL and never really made it as a starter.
No question about it. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. We can certainly talk more about the Buckeyes. Still to come, we will talk about the Browns' offensive coordinator position, the tight end position. Whatever you want, let's talk football here. Cleveland Browns, Buckeyes Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.